Good morning, it's 8 a.m. and you're listening to the Friday, February 10th edition of the KALX Morning News. Here's the latest. UC students were involved in a protest yesterday which resulted in 7 arrests. In Washington, President Bush said he was rolling up his sleeves to get on with work with his new budget and score Pac-10 wins for both the Cardinal and the Golden Bear. I'm Peter Dudley and I'll have this and more next. Seven protesters were arrested and one booked yesterday after picketing the El Salvadoran consulate in San Francisco. The Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, also known as CISPIS, staged the protest yesterday afternoon. Julie Sinai, the chapter coordinator of CISPIS, said the protest was in response to the killing of an economics student by El Salvadoran police. Sinai said that two other students have been captured by police, and CISPIS feels these two may be in danger. The protest involved Berkeley students, Sinai said, and aimed to get the El Salvadoran government to denounce the actions of its police.
There were 7 students of UC Berkeley in the Consul General's office asking to meet with the Consul General and talk to her about the current situation in El Salvador and get her to make some phone calls down to the foreign ministry to denounce the assassination of the economics student and the capture of the two members of the student organization.
Sinai added that 40 others picketed on the sidewalk. CISPIS feels that, without positive action now, the United States may escalate its involvement in El Salvador, and Sinai mentioned military involvement. Well, AZT may soon be a drug of the past. Researchers at Genentech Incorporated, NCI, and Harvard Medical School have designed a new kind of drug to fight the AIDS virus. The drug is essentially an artificial antibody that enables the immune system to find the virus and destroy it. AIDS researchers call the drug one of the most promising advances yet in the battle against AIDS. If further studies in animals and then in humans support early observations, the drug could prove far superior to AZT. AZT is the only drug currently approved by the FDA for treating AIDS. Unfortunately, the new drug has not yet been tested in humans. Tests on animals will continue for the rest of this year, and by then, the drug could be ready for human trials to determine side effects. In Stockton, the San Joaquin County Sheriff's Office says a large fire in South Stockton this morning destroyed a home and the blaze may have been arson-related. Sheriff's Lieutenant Bruce Agnew says the neighbors called 911 to report a house fully engulfed in flames about 4 a.m. Agnew says the fire completely destroyed the house. Agnew adds earlier in the evening there had been a family dispute with some family members leaving to stay in a motel and the rest remaining in the home. Agnew said the fire may have been related to that earlier domestic disturbance. There were no injuries, and the cause is under investigation. Around local circles, Oakland police say a 13-year-old girl was killed when she tried to protect her mother, who was being stabbed repeatedly with a hunting knife. Officers credited the woman's other daughter with helping them find the suspect, identified as Ronald Hornsby of Berkeley. And more than 400 students and staff at a Los Altos Junior High School were vaccinated yesterday because of an outbreak of meningitis. Health officials said the siblings of the students at Egan Junior High would be inoculated later as an added precaution. A shipyard operator has been charged with dumping tons of toxic wastes along the Hunters Point shoreline in San Francisco. Officials say if found guilty, the 16 felony charges, AAA machine shop could be fined as much as $136 million. An engineering professor says much of San Francisco's financial district is built on water-saturated clay, the only American city built that way. H. Bolton Seed told the State Seismic Safety Commission tougher earthquake building codes may be needed. A bill by Oakland Assemblyman Elihu Harris to strengthen gun laws seems to have backfired. Law enforcement officials are saying the bill makes it impossible to prosecute anyone for possessing an assault rifle. A little-notice provision rewrote the definition of shotguns and rifles, making Uzis legal. Under the previous law, Uzis were considered illegal. John Waldie, a legislative assistant to Harris, says they don't believe the old law to be nullified.
The laws on the books, Penal Code 12020, as they were written, supposedly had outlawed the Uzi already. That was one of the reasons we carried 4459 to begin with, was to clarify that definition. Apparently, after the letter from the Department of Justice, they believed that even under the current statute, the Uzi was illegal, and therefore there was no need to change that definition.
Waldie says the bill passed the Assembly and Senate and no one noticed any problems in the language. Waldie says they might introduce a spot bill that would clean up the previous bill if necessary, but he also said the district attorney's office has not contacted them about any problems. Republican lawmakers unveiled proposed new state laws yesterday to prohibit the sale of semi-automatic weapons to any person who has ever been convicted of a violent crime or drug-related offense. The bills by Assemblyman Tom McClintock of Thousand Oaks and Richard Mountjoy of Arcadia would also bar sales of any firearm to any persons with a record of mental illness. However, the bills would not impose the kind of 15-day waiting period for the purchase of semi-automatic weapons, which currently apply to handguns sold in California. McClintock says all citizens shouldn't be barred from possessing guns.
Prohibiting any citizen from owning certain firearms, we seek to prohibit certain citizens from owning any firearm. Now, this approach makes the distinction between the millions of decent, law-abiding, and honest citizens who legitimately own semi-automatic hunting rifles from those among us whose actions have demonstrated an unfitness to own any kind of a weapon, whether it be an assault rifle, a hunting rifle, or a single-shot gun.
Democratic lawmakers have introduced bills to ban the possession of, or sale of AK-47s and other so-called assault weapons under all circumstances. McClintock said that although his proposal doesn't ban those weapons, it actually goes further because it requires background checks for the purchase of any firearm. Now, auto insurers that try to pull out of California because of Prop 103 face hefty fines under a bill passed by the state Senate yesterday. The Senate had voted down the same measure only a week ago. Insurance Commissioner Roxanne Gillespie accused four insurance companies yesterday of violating Prop 103 by trying to leave the California auto insurance market. The Department of Insurance issued notices to National Indemnity and the AIU Insurance Company, as well as two other firms that operate under different names. Also in Sacramento, a bill to prevent the closure of 21 centers for the developmentally disabled is moving through the state legislature, but it's questionable whether the state can pay the price tag of $24.6 million. The Assembly Ways and Means Committee today rejected proposed amendments that would have borrowed the money from the state contractor's license fund. The state's general fund is virtually broke. In Stanford University announced today that two first-year students will not be disciplined for hanging a racially offensive poster in a campus dormitory last fall. Excuse me, that announcement came yesterday. Sally Cole, the school's judicial affairs officer, said the action by Gus Helt and Ben Dugan is protected as free speech by university policy and the United States Constitution. But she also said the university's so-called fundamental standard, a broad statement regarding acceptable student behavior, should be reviewed and clarified. And, coming up, while President Bush plans to reduce the budget deficit by 40%, House Speaker Jim Wright says he has two other deficits to contend with. First televised address to Congress last night, President George Bush unveiled his 1990 budget, which totals just over $1.1 trillion.
My plan has four broad features: attention to urgent priorities, investment in the future, an attack on the deficit, and no new taxes.
Among his urgent priorities include America's schools. Mr. Bush said he wants to be known as the education president, and he wants this Congress to be known as the education Congress. Bush also is calling for $5.5 billion to fight drugs. He also asked Congress to approve a presidential line item veto. In addition to his social concerns, Bush's main priority is to reduce the deficit. His budget does reduce the deficit by 40%, but he feels more needs to be done.
And I ask the Congress to honor the public's wishes by passing a constitutional amendment to require a balanced budget.
Bush called for cooperation between himself and Congress. House Speaker Jim Wright agreed, but he said the Democrats must proceed with caution.
The Democrats in Congress will insist on fairness. Now, we'd have to reject any kind of a flexible freeze that would bend with flexibility for the rich and powerful, but freeze out the middle-income families of America.
Wright also said the administration must focus on what he called the budget deficit, the trade deficit, and the social deficit. And President Bush meets with Canadian Prime Minister Mulroney today. The Justice Department says it plans to try again today to hold up Oliver North's Iran-Contra trial. It will be the department's third attempt to censor evidence that might be introduced by North. The department worries that release of certain classified information could compromise national security. And officials say French and British airline workers are checking Concorde supersonic jets after small cracks were found in the roof of a British Airways Concorde. The cracks were discovered during maintenance work. And in an unusual move for the Vatican, it is mentioning a specific country by name and issuing a major document on racism. The Vatican is blasting South Africa and its system of apartheid, calling it the most systematic form of racism in the world. A Persian Gulf newspaper says the head of the Palestine Liberation Organization will attend the funeral of Japan's Emperor Hirohito. The publication in Abu Dhabi says Yasser Arafat will also meet with several world leaders during his visit to Tokyo for this month's funeral. Japan's parliament is opening a new session, facing repercussions from a stock trading scandal. Jeers from opposition politicians met a renewed promise from Prime Minister Takeshita for reform. New Emperor Akihito earlier welcomed the parliament, his first appearance before the lawmakers since ascending to the throne after his father's death in January. And officials say negotiators for Iran and Iraq will meet face-to-face today, a breakthrough in their effort to resolve the Persian Gulf War. The talks are expected to be mediated by United Nations Secretary General Javier Perez de Cuellar. And the man who has regained the power seat in Jamaica seems to be extending a hand to the U.S. With most ballots counted, Michael Manley's party seems to be in control of Parliament. Manley, who was Jamaica's prime minister from 1972 to 1980, says he's ready for what he calls a new beginning with the Bush administration. And now, for a look at sports, we've got Dave Miller. Dave, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Peter, in the world of sports last night at Harmon Gym, the Cal basketball team got a little revenge on the Washington Huskies, picking up an important Pac-10 win, 84-70 the final, and a Cal romp. Cal led by as much as 25 points in the first half. The Huskies cut the lead to one with just over 10 minutes remaining in the game. Then Washington coach Andy Russo was called for a technical foul, and talk about hurting your team. Cal converted the free throws and never looked back, and are out to their seventh Pac-10 win against five losses. Cal is 16-7 overall. The Bears were led by Keith Smith, who put up some eye-popping numbers, 22 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds, 4 steals. Leonard Taylor contributed with 20. The Cal women's basketball team, playing without three regulars, lost a tough one last night. Playing on the road at Washington State last night, Cal fell 92-89 to the Washington State Cougars. Cal drops to 8-12 overall, 3-7 in Pac-10 play. Carolyn Jenkins scored a career-high 20 points for Cal. Keisha Martin had 20. Cal plays Washington tonight at 7:30. That game, of course, will come to you live on KALX. And lots of big college games last night. Let's run them down for you. Stanford 65, Washington State 53. Stanford trailed by 1 point at the half before coming back in that one. Todd Lichty had 20 points for the Cardinal. Illinois 62, Ohio State 60. Arizona over Oregon 78-57. Oklahoma over Missouri in an NBA type game, 112-105. Michigan in double overtime over Iowa, 108-107. In football, the Chargers have selected a new coach, and it's not Tom Flores, as once rumored. San Diego has chosen former Atlanta Falcon coach Dan Henning. And in basketball, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will take Magic Johnson's spot on the All-Star team. Johnson, of course, out with a pulled hamstring. It will be Kareem's 19th All-Star appearance. All-Star game will be played Sunday at the Astrodome. In the NBA last night, the Warriors dropped one to the Sacramento Kings, 142-117. Ricky Berry had 7 three-pointers in scoring 34 points. And in baseball, the 4-0 Golden Bears will make their KALX debut today. They will be taking on the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos. Game time is at 2 p.m., barring any rain.
Okay, Dave, do you think Cal will win that game?
Yeah, I do. 4-0. UCSC hasn't played too many games this year, but it should be a good one. I hope everyone will go out there and check it out if it's not too cold.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All righty.
All right. And in weather, you can expect a mostly cloudy day with a few lingering showers today with highs in the 50s. In Berkeley and Oakland now, it's just about 35 degrees. And that wraps it up for this morning's KALX News. My very special thanks go to engineer Lucy Valadares. Thanks, Lucy. Be sure to tune us in every morning at 8 and every evening at 5:30 for all the latest news, weather, and sports. I'm Peter Dudley. Have a pleasant Friday.